Well, they often say that laughter is the best medicine, and I don't know if that's good, Brad, right on time. So laughter is a good medicine. It makes you feel better when you laugh. I was thinking that the only time it's not good to laugh is when you've got a broken rib. But other than that, laughter is a good medicine. Now, I grew up in a church, and we didn't go out to kids' church during the sermon, and it was very difficult not to laugh at church as you're sitting on the floor with your sisters. And I remember that we'd get in trouble if we laughed out loud. So my tactic during church was to chew my collars on my shirt, and I'd often come out of church with both collars sopping wet, trying not to laugh. But as we get older, we don't laugh. In Abraham, there's some really big themes, and of course, the man of faith is the biggest theme, as we've been looking at Abraham's faith in God, and that's really what we want to learn from Abraham: how to trust God. God's the promise-making and promise-keeping God, and He keeps His promises, and in today's passage we're going to see that He keeps the promise that He's been making for the last 25 years to Abraham. But strangely, laughter keeps coming up as a significant theme in this story. And so God's promised that Abraham, He's told him to go to this land, that He'll give him many descendants like the sand on the seashores. A great nation will come from him, He'll have children, and he'll be blessed, and blessing will come through him. In many ways, that the curse of Genesis 3 will be undone through Abraham and his descendants. And so God's come on three occasions to Abraham and said, through Abraham, through Sarah, this blessing will come. But of course, we know at this stage that Abraham is 99 years old, Sarah is 89, and there is only one child, and it hasn't come through Sarah's body, but through Hagar, the slave woman, Ishmael. And he will be blessed, but he won't be the blessed one. And of course, at chapter 20 and chapter 21 today, as we finally see that what has been promised arrives. What was believed by faith is now sight. What God said when He said, is there anything that's too hard for God? No, there's not. And God delivers on His promise. And we see that in this passage. But of course, I've called this passage or this sermon, Grace That Laughs, because in the end, we're not going to be thinking about a silly man on a TV screen. We're thinking about the way that God treats people, people like us, and the way that He brings His grace to us in the Lord Jesus, the kind of grace that would fill our hearts, fill us with joy, even to the point of laughter. Undeserved sinners being blessed. So look again with me as we look at the passage, and we'll see what God's doing in us. So chapter 20 is the first part of this Grace That Laughs. And it doesn't include laughter, this chapter 20, but I reckon when Abraham and Sarah are walking away from King Abimelech, they've got 12 kilograms of silver in their pockets, they've got a whole bunch of new sheep and cattle and slaves behind them, they've kind of got away with something here, and there's a clear conscience and clean hands. Then God said to him in the dream, yes, I know you did this with a clear conscience, and so I've kept you from sinning against me. That is why I did not let you touch her. Now return the man's wife, for he is a prophet, and he will pray for you and you will live. But if you do not return her, you may be sure that you and all who belong to you will die. So Abraham and his large gang with him, his family and all of his livestock, he's a wealthy guy, they've been living as strangers in southern Canaan. They've been wandering around for the last 20 plus years, about 23, 24 years they've been wandering around. Last week's passage we saw this climatic event where the two cities down the road from where they were staying, Sodom and Gomorrah, were smited from heaven. The sulfur of judgment came down on them for their terrible and deserved judgment for their sin. A very graphic act of God showing His hand of judgment in advance, if you like. The kind of judgment that's still yet to come, He brought into reality at that time for sin. Abraham and his gang, for whatever reason, after that, decide to take own husband Abraham was not. And God's protecting this woman and comes to Abimelech in a dream and says, "You're a dead man," which is quite a vivid dream to get, isn't it? That would get your attention during the night. Now, is this story sounding a little bit familiar? Have we heard this story before? Didn't this happen somewhere else as Abraham and Sarah made some agreement? You call me brother, you call me sister, and my life will be safe. And way back in chapter 12, the same story happened as they were in now Egypt. And it was a different king. It was Pharaoh this time. And it seems that Sarah spent some time in Pharaoh's household as Abraham was scared for his own skin and ditched his wife at that occasion. Now, Abraham is a repeat offender in what? Stupidity? Absolutely. Can you imagine the conversation? Like, as they walked out of Egypt, as he went to reach to hold her hand and she withdrew it. like, what's going on here? Like, this is not how you treat your wife. Like, I know that. You know that. But he's doing the same thing again. But there's something deeper that he's a repeat offender of. And it's fear. And it's a lack of ends, as we look at verse 14 onwards. Then Abimelech brought sheep and cattle and male and female slaves and gave them to Abraham, and he returned Sarah, his wife, to him. And Abimelech said, "My land is before you, live wherever you like." To Sarah he said, "I've given you, your brother, 1,000 shekels of silver. This is to cover the offense against you before all who are with you. You are completely vindicated." Then Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wife, and his female slaves so they could have children again. For the Lord had kept all the women in Abimelech's household from conceiving because of Abraham's wife Sarah. So Abraham doesn't get burning sulfur coming from heaven in response to his sin and unfaithfulness. Instead, he gets blessed and riches are given to him. It's an incredible gospel moment that's happening here. Because he's thinking, there's no fear of God in this man Abimelech, so I've got to kind of make up this brother-sister thing. But it turns out there's lots of fear of God in Abimelech. It's just there's not enough fear of God happening in Abraham. That's the problem. And so there's kind of this great reversal that the guilty guy in the story with joy. It changes everything about God and the way he treats us. We're blown away by that. But the grace doesn't finish here in this story, because we now turn to chapter 21, grace that laughs. And what they've been waiting now for 25 years for, this promise from God, will finally be delivered, because laughter will be born. And so let's look at verses 1 to 7 of chapter 21. "Now the Lord was gracious to Sarah, as he had said. And the Lord did for Sarah what he had promised. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age, at the very time God had promised him. Abraham gave the name Isaac to the son Sarah bore him. When his son Isaac was 8 days old, Abraham circumcised him as God commanded him. Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. Sarah said, 'God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me.' And she added, 'Who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age.'" Well, back in chapter. But this is not normal. The promise-making God is the promise-keeping God. He can do what he says. And that's good news for us. It's good news for us. And we end up seeing that this child is born. And this is not just a barren woman receiving a child and fulfilling her need for family and blessing and her maternal instincts. This is the child of promise. This is the promised one who would bring blessing, the one who would undo the blessing or the curse of chapter 3 of Genesis. Through his line, this would be done. And you can imagine the celebration in the tent and in the whole community. As Sarah says, God has brought me laughter, and everyone who hears about this will laugh with me. Well, Abraham's been on a journey of faith, hasn't he? For 25 years, God's told him to believe the promise that through him and through his wife Sarah, this baby will come. And he's believed God. Despite the fact that it looked impossible, he's believed in El Shaddai, the one who can do all things. But now he doesn't need faith anymore, does he? Because in his... And we will be there. Our faith will be sight. We'll be blessed with every blessing for all eternity, and we won't need faith anymore. But for now, we trust. We believe. We believe in the God who can do the impossible, the God who can take us there in that day. And yet our hearts continue to be full as we wait for that day, as we imagine that day and what it will be like. Overwhelmed by grace. I'm sure as we arrive the doorsteps of heaven, there'll be a smile on our face. We'll be laughing, if you like, at the glory of grace as faith becomes sight, from mourning into dancing. Well, we come now to the last part of the passage that we're going to look at today, verses 8 to 21. And it's a kind of more troubling part of the passage, because now there's more laughing, but it's done in the form of mocking. And there's a new laugher in the story. Ishmael becomes the laugher as he scoffs and mocks his brother Isaac. So let's look at verse 8 onwards. The child, that's Isaac, grew and was weaned. And on the day Isaac was weaned, Abraham held a great feast. She put the boy under one of the bushes when she went off and sat down about a bow shot away, for she thought, I cannot watch the boy die. And as she sat there, she began to sob. God heard the boy crying, and the angel of God called to Hagar from heaven and said to her, What is the matter, Hagar? Do not be afraid. God has heard the boy crying as he lies there. Lift the boy up and take him by the hand, and I will make him into a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water. So she went and filled the skin with water and gave the boy a drink. God was with the boy as he grew up. He lived in the desert and became an archer. While he was living in the desert of Paran, his mother got a wife for him from Egypt. Well, back in verse 9, that word mock is the same Hebrew word, the root word for laughter. As this now 16-year-old older son of Abraham, Ishmael, mocks, scorns, laughs at the younger boy, the boy who would be the child of blessing. And any idea that Hagar would see her son Ishmael grow up with Sarah's son Isaac is just abhorrent to Sarah. This will not happen in her eyes. And she says, get that child out of here. He is not going to share in any inheritance. And there was just this very tender moment that we saw that God cares for the mourning, for the abused, for the oppressed person, that he hears and he sees and his hand is on them. And God did for them back what he does now. He sends an angel and he provides water for them. He loves and cares for them. But this child will not be the child of blessing. That will be Isaac. Now, the story ends for Ishmael with his mum getting him a wife, which is always a good idea, boys. So listen well to your mums. But where does this wife come from? Egypt. Now, we know from the story that Egypt's never a good place. It's a place of unfaithfulness to God. It's a independence and self-sufficiency. Now, someone said after my earlier place, does that mean we shouldn't go to Egypt? No, this is what the story is trying to do. We're not any statement about Egypt. But, of course, we won't see any more of Ishmael in the story. He'll be there when he buries his dad. The Ishmaelites will come and they'll take the boy Joseph out of the well and take him to Egypt, but that'll be the end of their life. Because he won't be the line of blessing. The Bible story will follow Isaac from here on. Well, how does this story sit with you? The idea that, or that my friend hasn't, my relative hasn't, that I've been blessed from on high, but they haven't. Is that fair? Now, we soon realise that the word fair, which is a very relevant word in our society, all about our rights and fairness, is not the grace word. Because if we were to receive what is fair, we would receive what Sodom and Gomorrah received for our sin. Because we've offended, we're repeat sinners against God, and what would be fair would be for you and me to face for all eternity punishment for our sin. But that's not grace. Grace shows his kindness to us as God gives us life and freedom and forgiveness through his son Jesus. Now that's grace. Now if we look at the story, we see that everyone connected with Abraham becomes blessed. Even Ishmael is blessed. And we even see that scallywag Lot is blessed. Even in Peter, he's called a righteous man, but we know that from his lifestyle that he hasn't done anything really right, but just being connected with this man, Abraham, means that he's blessed. He receives God's grace. Now, as we head into the New Testament, we see that it's actually not the connection with Abraham. If you haven't yet turned to Jesus, if you aren't yet connected to him by grace, then you can actually receive not what's fair. You can receive the gift of grace through Jesus. And for me, I was, I think, 13 years old. I was in the back of my grandparents' car. I knew I was a sinner. And I said to God, I'm a sinner. That was no surprise to him. He knew that. But I said, I need to be forgiven by Jesus. I need him to come into my life. I want to follow him. And so that can be your invitation today if you sit outside of grace today. Don't take what's fair. Take the gift that's available to you. Well, what a joy grace is. Grace that laughs. Grace that changes everything for us. Grace that sustains us on our journey through life, not just at the start of it. So let me take, give you a moment to pray to God in response to what he's been saying to you, and then I'll pray. Musos, you can come and join me.